In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody awake? Everybody happy? I don't know, man. Some of you look like you never had enough coffee today or something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lori said she had an unspoken request, and sounded to me like she had to do a little spiritual warfare on their behalf. Amen. When you get woke up in the middle of the night, and you don't know why you're up, pray. That's probably why you're up. Amen. Hallelujah. And the next day, she said, God came through. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. You know, huh? Oh, well, let's hear it. I thought you said I got some more money. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lock that door, Tom. We're talking about money. Don't let them out. Well, let's hear it. A mink coat.
Yeah, and she said, we got it at Goodwill. She said, me and my sister got it at Goodwill. And she said, but I want you to have it. And she said, don't tell Hazel, that's her sister.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So Hazel found out about it about 5 years later and said that when Aunt Martha passed on, that she was supposed to get the coat back. And she wanted the coat right then, and I just ignored it. So then... Aunt Martha passed away about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I figured that was probably the truth. Otherwise, why would Aunt Martha say, don't tell Hazel? Yeah. So when Aunt Martha passed on, I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to give Hazel that coat back at Minko. It's full-length Minko. And so I was thinking, I'm just being real with you. I was thinking, you know, how I was going to present that coat, you know, to you know, Aunt Hazel, what I was going to say, and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought about it for about an hour, and then later on, about 2 hours later, I said, I ain't giving that woman that coat. I love that coat. So then about two days later, I'm just real. I'm going to tell you, I love that coat. But anyhow, 2 days later, I was talking to the Lord, you know, by the sink in the kitchen. I said, you know, is there something you want to do, you know? And I do that a lot. He don't say much.
Yeah.
Hardly ever. But that day he said, the coat. I said, oh, no, not the coat. So I went ahead and got the coat, you know, and I got a hat, you know, and some other things that went with the coat, you know. And so I took it on down to Portsmouth to Aunt Hazel. Well, last week she brought the coat back. She said, I can't wear the coat. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Praise the Lord, but I'm sorry to hear that.
But anyhow, she brought the coat back, and I am so thankful. But in all that, you know, whenever I had given her the coat, she wrote me out a piece of paper and said, whenever she passed on, that the coat would come back to me. So instead, you know, it came back.
But the relationship's healed. See, yeah, now, yeah. See, because you did what you're supposed to do. That must have been a fine coat. Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah. Hallelujah. Unless somebody else got a testimony. Okay. All right. Nobody's going to follow that, that's for sure. That's one of the best testimonies about giving a coat away I've ever heard. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We read this a lot. But I want to try to... Hey, Terry. The first song we sang, I forgot it now, the Christmas hymn, the second one. Not Joy, the second. Yeah, yeah. Can you put the words of that up there? Hallelujah. I'm going to sing for you. Not going to happen. You know, we sell, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Father, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For unto us a yeled, or child, is born. Unto us a ben, or son, is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, until I started studying the Jewish language, I'd read that. I just thought it was, you know, a child and a son, one and the same. But God's trying to make a point here. And when we talk about the birth of Messiah, okay, we talk about the birth of our Messiah, and we don't know if it was December 25th. I'm doubting that date. But that's the date the church has traditionally chosen to celebrate. So, we're going to celebrate it on the 25th. Amen?
Amen?
But when he says a child is born, now, remember, he's born into a Jewish family in the nation of Israel in the first century, and he's born into the religion of Judaism. Okay? And God makes a point. A child is born. If you weren't a Jew and you saw that baby in a manger, you'd just probably say something like, man, I hope they keep that kid warm. Okay? If you were anybody but a Jew. But God goes on to say, yes, a child is born, but a son is given. Amen?
Amen.
If you remember in Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel sees the vision, and Daniel sees this vision and he says, I saw the Ancient of Days seated. 10,000 times 10,000 angels, you know, were in his court. And then he says, and I saw one like the Son of Man, the Ben Adam, one like the Son of Man that came down, and he was given a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that could never be destroyed. Amen. And later on it says, and a time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
If you weren't a Jew, you just saw a baby. Right? And if you hung around long enough, I guess that big star in the sky and all the angels singing, and then these three magi or wise men show up and they got gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you know, that might tip you off that maybe this is just no ordinary baby. Amen? But the next line, a son is given, and the government or the authority will be upon his shoulders. You'll call him Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Amen? If you were a Jew living in the first century, your ancestors would have been over 800 years or almost 800 years of persecution from somebody, from some foreign government, some foreign king and his army. And guess what? You would have been looking for a king, a Mashiach, a Messiah, amen, to deliver you from out of the arm of oppression, amen. So when it says a son is given, whew, I'm telling you what, that's the greatest gift the world has ever received.
Amen.
God voluntarily gave his son, a son that had authority, a son that had power, amen,
amen,
a son that was anointed to set captives free. And you and I are here today because of that son. Amen. Not just a child, but a son was given. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate Christmas because they think it is a pagan holiday. And I will be honest and say that it does have some pagan roots. All right? But I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said about it. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Paul said something about Christmas. He absolutely did. Sure enough. Chapter 14 of Romans. You know what? I celebrate Christmas, but I don't celebrate any pagan deity. My kids and grandkids know the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because a son is given.
Amen.
Amen. A redeemer. Now you think about it. If you were one of those wise men, or you were one of those shepherds that have been living under, well, the wise men were not from Israel, but you were one of those shepherds, and you're living under the bondage of Roman rule, and your ancestors had been in bondage, and from the beginning they were in bondage in Egypt. Amen. And now these angels are giving you a message and say, hey, you need to get on over there to Bethlehem because your Savior is born. Can you imagine what that would be like? I think it was exactly like the way you were when you got born again. The excitement you felt in your heart, I believe those shepherds in that field felt in their heart. Amen. A Mashiach, a king, is born. Wait a minute. Let me get back over here. Romans 14, right? Some people don't celebrate Christmas because it's a pagan holiday. There's nothing pagan about my house, okay? All right? We say, well, you put up an evergreen tree. Yep. And so did George Washington. And that evergreen tree on George Washington's flag was a symbol of the eternal God. So my little tiny ugly tree, it's not quite Charlie Brown mode, but getting that way, it's not a symbol of some pagan deity. It's a symbol of the eternal God. And we celebrate in my home the giving of our Redeemer. Amen. Now let's see what the Apostle Paul said about celebrating. Let's start in verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. In other words, somebody that's a baby Christian or somebody that's struggling, they're kind of weak in the faith, don't argue with them. Don't argue stuff with them, okay? Treat them like they're babies. Don't try to get shoved meat down their throat when they're babies, okay? For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. See, God has received us all. Whether you eat kosher or you don't. Whether you're a vegetarian or you're a carnivore. Okay, Terry Plyman's the biggest carnivore that I know. Okay, give that boy a rack of ribs and he'll do what Fred Flintstone did to him. Okay? For real. Okay? All right, it says in verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Paul's saying, listen, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, you do it unto the Lord. Amen. You give thanks for it.
Yes.
Amen. If you want to celebrate Christmas, do it unto the Lord. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. If you want to keep this day or that day, do it unto the Lord. I almost got in an argument with a woman one time in Israel because it was between Passover and Pentecost, and the Jews count the Omer. You know, it's 50 days from the time the first fruit offering is offered until the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. And so they count those days. They read certain texts in the synagogue every day, and they're counting the Omer. Well, on the 33rd Omer, and I still don't know the significance of why they do this, but on the 33rd of the Omer, if you go to the Wailing Wall, they have broke every OSHA rule, every fire department rule that America has, because they got big bonfires everywhere. And the big synagogue in the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem, they had a big bonfire out there, and they're dancing and they're singing and they're celebrating. But this Jewish woman who was a Christian, she said, don't go down there. You don't have to go down there. I said, well, you kidding me? I can hear them from up here. I'm going down there. Something's going on down there. Oh, they're just, it's pagan. It's pagan. So I went down there, and it didn't look pagan to me. I don't know what they were doing, but I know this. They were dancing and singing and praising God.
Amen.
Amen. So I go back to Paul. Hey, look, you don't want to celebrate it? Fine.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't offering up, you know, blood sacrifices or nothing down there. They had a bonfire and they were dancing and praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only thing they lacked was an all beef hot dog, you know, on a stick. Okay. We wouldn't use pork there. But, you know, with us, you got a fire. Hey, let's get some weenies out, right? All right. Does that make sense to you? Paul's saying, listen, you want to observe it? Observe it. Good. Somebody else wants to observe it or doesn't want to, that's good. They're living their life for God, just as we are living our life for God. Somebody say amen or oh me. All right, now, real quick. I want you to go to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Well, I'm looking. We're going to end up in verse 12, but I'm looking for something else. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let me say something to you. Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Messiah. Amen? That's why we should celebrate Christmas. Somebody says, well, what about all the gifts? Well, Jesus was brought gifts. Well, he was the king of the world. You got me there. Can't top that. All right. However, I can see in my Bible when Abraham sought out a wife for Isaac, he gave her whole family gifts. Jesus gave gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, okay? The Holy Spirit is called the gift of God. Amen. How many know our Redeemer was the greatest gift that's ever been given?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can you go over the top at Christmas on the gifts? Absolutely. 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 If you're using them credit cards and going in debt $4,000 or $5,000, you put yourself in bondage. Been there, done that, got a couple t-shirts. Nobody else has to confess, just me. All right, here we go. Now, Understand this. During the Feast of Tabernacles, that's in the fall, it's called Sukkot. And in the temple, they had 4 75-foot-high menorahs, like this one, only taller. Okay, we got a pygmy one. Okay, they had 75 feet tall, four of them, and they were lit. And Josephus said it lit up the whole temple area. Okay, so lighting that menorah, they would light it, and the men dance. Why do the men dance? Well, in ancient Hebrew, men dancing, that was the most humble act a man could do before God. Amen. Remember David's first wife? She got after him because he was dancing. Bible says he was dancing naked. I don't know so much about that. But he was dancing before the Lord. She didn't want him doing it because he's king. But as a king, David knew that his authority came from God. Therefore, I believe David was humbling himself and dancing with the other men around the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. So at the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, they light those big menorahs. It's all lit up. The place is all lit up. And they're dancing. They're singing psalms of praise and joy unto God. And you know why they're singing songs of praise unto God? Because they believe the promise that God was going to send a Messiah. Yes. Whew, glory to God. But then at the Feast of Hanukkah, they light another menorah. And this menorah's got 9 candles. And it's got 8, 4 on each side, which represent the 8 days that the menorah was lit in the temple for the rededication ceremony. Remember, that's the miracle of Hanukkah. Only had enough oil for a few, one day, and the menorah stayed lit for 8 days. But then they add the Shamash candle, which means servant, to this menorah. Now, I'm giving you a background. They light this menorah. We're talking about lots of light at Sukkot, Tabernacles, and then at Hanukkah, they've got menorahs lit, right? They've got lights lit. And Jesus tells them over here in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm going to read that again. I got one amen. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus come so that you would not have to walk in darkness. Amen. I was listening to a guy the other night on the radio. I can't remember his name. And I just got his book. I got his book because Tucker Carlson recommended it. And this guy's an expert on addictions, or supposed to be an expert. But he wrote a book called Chasing the Scream, and they read a couple excerpts out of that book, you know. And I liked what they read, so I bought the book. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's on my Kindle. I mean, $4.99, how are you going to beat that? You know, Merry Christmas to me, okay? Have you ever done that? Went to buy somebody a gift, come back with something for you?
No.
Yeah, well, that's the way it happens sometimes. So, but anyway, have you ever heard of the rat bar test?
No.
They took a rat, and they put him in a cage by himself, and they put a water bottle, regular water on one end, and they put a bottle laced with heroin and cocaine in the other side. And guess which one the rat drank the most out of? Well, I'll give you a hint. He died.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. He OD'd. All right. So they took another rat, and they built a rat palace, they called it. Things for the rat to do. And put other rats in there. And they put 2 regular water bottles on the cage, and they put 2 heroin and cocaine laced bottles on the cage, And the rats never touched the bottle that had the drugs in it. And his point was that you have to go back to the person and find out what was going on in their life before they started sucking on that bottle that heroin and cocaine in it. Now, I said that to say this. Jesus is the answer. I mean, when they told that story, and I'd already read this verse of scripture through the week, and he told that story, I was like, them rats needed Jesus. Nah. People who are in that dark place, the answer is Jesus. Amen. But notice the rats were in with other rats. So there was some fellowship going on. There was things going on. They weren't alone. They weren't depressed. Amen. And so there's things that happen in people's lives, I believe, that cause them to get hooked on drugs. Does that make any sense? Now, there's some people that just did them for recreational use and got caught that way. But I think the majority, what he was saying was the majority of people that become addicted to drugs, there was issues in their life before the drugs. Amen. Amen? Now, I say that to say this. You have that light in you. I talked in Sunday school about how, you know, the men that wore the tzitzit, the prayer shawl with the tzitzit on it. They were under the authority of God. Amen. They were to walk in that light. And I really believe that in 2019, we need to make a better effort at being the light to the world, light to the people around us. Okay? Well, I'm being all the light I can. Well, just quit getting so mad and cussing at them all the time. Try that one. Okay? All right? Are you, me and you, the only one that get mad? I'll leave that alone. I'll keep going. Okay. In a New York minute. All right. Let me get my notes turned over here. Now, go to John chapter 1. You're in John. Go backwards to John chapter 1. Let's start right here first, okay? Do you have the words, "O little town of Bethlehem," too? Do you? Well, let's read these words first. "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth." See, I want you to see something. I'm gonna read you some other words that come out of some old Christmas songs that we sing. These guys knew something. They just didn't write some of these songs off the cuff because they sounded good. They had some revelation. Look at this one. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the spirit felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Pining. Wanting a deliverer. Israel wanted a deliverer. Amen. The world needed a savior. Amen. In Israel, they were looking for a king to destroy the Romans. Okay. The rest of the world was bound in sin and darkness. Amen. Now, so the point I'm saying is, look at the revelation in those words. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the spirit felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." Amen. Don't you remember when you got saved? I'm going to tell you, I was so tired of running, I'd run out. You know, I'd give it up. Okay? And I was weary, and I was glad that I came back to God. Amen. Now, listen to these words. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I'm going to read that again. The hopes and fears. Israel had a hope of a Messiah, a king. But they lived under the fear and bondage of the Romans. Amen. And this songwriter, his name was Philip Brooks. He wrote that in 1868. He understands that. And he says, on this night, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee. Talking about Bethlehem. Met in thee tonight. Glory. The Christmas story is bound to the fate of the Jewish people. Amen. The songs we sing about Christmas, the whole reason we celebrate, they are all tied up in the history of Israel and the oppression of Israel and the hope of a Messiah. Why was he born in Israel? They're the only ones looking for him. They were the only people looking for a Messiah, were the Jewish people. Amen. Well, what about the Christians? Hold time out. Let me fix your history. There weren't any Christians until after Jesus came. Amen. Born, died, resurrected. Amen. Now we have Christians. Okay? Clear up your... I was asked that once. So just clearing that up for you all real quick. All right. I made fun. I'm sorry. Okay. John 1. Watch this. And then I want to go to Luke's gospel. He says, in the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's not talking about the Word. Or he is talking about the Word. But now, is he, that's a pronoun, right? Get my English right. He uses the pronoun he. He was talking about the Word. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word is God. Now he uses the pronoun for the Word. And he says, he. He's personalizing it, right? It's being personalized, this word. He was in the beginning with God. We know that here at this church because we know that the Word of God is also the wisdom of God. And we know that Proverbs 8 tells us that the wisdom of God was God's most precious instrument of creation. Amen? So he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was born before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Glory to God. When you celebrate Christmas, it's not about a baby in a manger. Understand that. I love nativity scenes. I love live nativity scenes. Bring on the camels. Bring on the donkeys. Bring on the sheep. Bring on the wise men. I like it all. But it's not about the baby. It's about who the baby is. You're celebrating Christmas not because a baby was born, but because a Redeemer was given to you. Amen. A plan of redemption to bring you out of darkness into your marvelous light. Amen. Okay. Let me get back over here. Turn with me real quick to Luke. And that baby, That Redeemer was the light of men. Amen. Okay, go to Luke's Gospel. That's to your left. Chapter 2. This is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I don't know what verse yet. Let me get there. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. I think it's going to be 32. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, his picture is on the wall back there. Okay? Simeon. Now, I don't know if that really looks like Simeon. But the idea is, here's Simeon, a man of God, a godly man. A man who prayed at the temple daily. A man who felt the wrath of the Romans. A man who, I believe Simeon was in that crowd on the Feast of Tabernacles, singing and dancing and praising psalms, singing psalms of praise and joy for the promise that a Messiah would come. I believe that when he was old enough and he could go and dance at that temple, I believe Simeon was dancing at that temple. And now he's at that temple, and guess who shows up? Mary and Joseph. Oh, glory. I'm telling you something. There's something in that man's heart that's beginning to leap. Amen. All those years of Sukkot, praising, singing songs of praise and psalms of joy unto God and dancing because God had promised the king. Now Simeon's at the temple when the king in the form of a child arrives. And look what the Bible says. Pick it up in verse 28. He took him up in his arms, Simeon did, blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Notice, Simeon doesn't say anything about the baby. He's looking at the baby, and he's praising God. My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen the instrument of my salvation. I can't imagine how that man feels. Which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Wow. And the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Man, that's why I love that picture back there. When I seen that picture, I don't know where I was at, I seen that picture. I said, I got to have that picture. That woman said, that picture's $2.99. I said something like, I remember, I don't know exactly what I said. I said something like, well, ain't this Discount Tuesday? You know, something like that. She said, why do you want that picture? And I told her. I said, because this is a picture of Simeon. And I told her, I said, remember Simeon? Simeon was at the temple. Simeon was one that was looking for the Messiah. And now he gets to hold him. And I said, I just love the look on that artist that painted that picture. You know, it had to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I got that picture for $2.59 instead of $2.99. That $40 is $40, right? You know. I mean, yeah. But anyway, that's why I love that picture. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 7. We're almost done. Isaiah 7. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. Thing is aggravating. Did it aggravate you to look at it as much as it aggravates me to wear the thing? Isaiah 7, I think we want verse 14. Watch what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. There's a hymn, and we sang it here the other night. I maybe Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I'm not sure. But the words are, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Amen. You notice those things when you sing those hymns? I'm pretty sure it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's one of them we've sang here recently. O come, Emmanuel, God with us, and ransom captive Israel. I can honestly tell you, with all my heart, Israel is being prepared for a king. No doubt about it. The cities have been built. The ruined places have been built. Highways, you can travel through Israel. Don't take no time to go from Jericho to the other end. You know, the cities, the infrastructure, she's truly being prepared for a king. And Jews worshiping Yeshua as Messiah. I'm telling you, there's never been a time like this time. Amen. And we are being prepared for the second coming of Messiah. Even the rabbis, I think I said this Wednesday, even the rabbis, the old crusty rabbis, some of them are coming around and they're saying, well, we'll just have to ask him when he comes. This your first time to Jerusalem or your second time? Okay, so they're not throwing Jesus out. As a matter of fact, a lot of them study Jesus' teachings because they all line up with the Torah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's one of these things. If you keep playing around the crick bank, what's the old saying? You will fall in. Amen. They keep hanging around the crick bank, they will fall in. A couple years ago, there was an old rabbi, famous rabbi that died, and before he died, he confessed that Jesus was Messiah. You know, you can YouTube that one. That's on YouTube. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got one more scripture, and we're going to close. Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1, page 1290. Verse 20. Let's go to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, not a child, a son. Bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua. For he will save his people from their sins. That is a good reason to celebrate Christmas. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all blessed. Remember, it's about him. Not you. Not how big diamonds you get for Christmas. You know. It's about him. Amen. I got me a Kindle book. I'm happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jackie got her coat. Hallelujah. Well, let's put Jackie and Carolyn to work on the communion table here. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I'll let you all handle it. You got two hands. Four hands between two of you, so. You ought to be able to handle it. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we'll have our candlelight Christmas Eve service. Usually lasts service itself don't usually last more than 30 or 40 minutes. Then we fellowship downstairs. So if you come and bring something, what are they, we having ham sandwiches that we're having? Ham, bring something to go with that. We're eating ham, it's not Hanukkah. So hallelujah. If it's Hanukkah, we wouldn't eat the ham. Well, some of us might sneak, but you know. Y'all blessed? Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to tell you something. God is good. If you'll just raise your head up and look for him, he is good. Amen. But if you continue to keep your head down and trying to plow through every problem in life, you're not going to find out he's good. You'll have to look up and talk to him every now and then. Somebody say amen or me. That was for somebody, don't know who, maybe me. A lot of times when I preach, probably half the time I preach to you something I'm going through. God's done dealt with me. Huh? One arm man. Wait till I get two. I get that other one back. Look out. After a while, hanging like that, it starts hurting. I got to sit down. Take your time. I will. If I remember, I won't be seeing them till Tuesday. So. Do my best. I got to talk too. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Amen. You hold the bread in your, the matzah in your hand represents the body of the Son that was given. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness and obedience. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bore the sin of the world upon yourself. And you instructed your disciples that when they did this, they were doing it in remembrance of you. So this morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, yes, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, that you are the immerser, baptizer, and the Holy Spirit, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hallelujah. Hold your cup up. You ready on three? One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Bible tells us that life is in the blood, and the Lord Jesus poured out his life at Calvary so we could be partakers. Not mere partakers, but he said you can have this life, this relationship with God the Father and his Son abundantly. We also know this cup represents the fourth cup at a Jewish betrothal ceremony where the bridegroom wouldn't drink it, but the bride did, and it was a symbol of her vow that she would be faithful until he come. So as we drink this, it becomes a symbol of our vow to the Lord Jesus that we will remain faithful until he comes. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts in remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity to remain faithful until you come, we drink of this cup. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I want to give a praise report. When I went to Israel, I weighed 251 pounds. Running the marathons every day and eating the Mediterranean diet, I lost 10 pounds in Israel. When I came back and I started that, I wouldn't call it a diet, but I guess it is a diet. Since then, I've lost 13 pounds, and I'm off one of the sugar medicines. So, glory to God. So, pray for me. We're going to keep at it. I haven't been able to exercise. I think I could lose more if I could exercise, but Miss Amy at physical therapy said, no, I don't want you on no treadmill banging that shoulder up and down. So, I went to the mall and walked around. How's that? I'm sure. And then it really hurt when I got home last night. So, anyway. But I need to listen to the experts, don't I? Amen. You know how we are sometimes. We don't listen. Let's stand up. Aunt Diane, would you dismiss us with prayer?